Now, hundreds and hundreds of your calls coming in to the Nolan Show today. I want to try to sum up where we are. So a scheme in Northern Ireland that was fundamentally flawed, and there is no one disputing that, allowed people to apply for a government scheme called Renewable Heat Incentive Scheme. And this was basically to put eco-friendly boilers into their homes. There were two different schemes. One was a domestic scheme, one was a non-domestic scheme. And it is the non-domestic scheme which is at the focus of this political controversy. Because what happened was, when the scheme was drawn up, and this was under Arlene Foster's watch when she was the minister of that department at the time, there were no fail-safes built into it in terms of cost control. What do I mean by that? Well, in Great Britain, where there was a very similar scheme, they built protection into it so that if too many people applied to the scheme, there would be a stop and public money could not just be in free fall. But in Northern Ireland, they did not build that fail-safe into the scheme. So what happened was, there was, in fact, to be fair to them, there wasn't enough demand in the beginning months. But then what happened was the civil servants and people like the Permanent Secretary, Andrew McCormick, we revealed on the Nolan Show that in June 2015, he became concerned. And he told his then minister, Jonathan Bell at the time, that the scheme should be closed, and closed as soon after the summer recess as possible, and they fixed a date of September 2015 to attempt to have the scheme closed. This is the original scheme. When I say closed, I mean the highly lucrative scheme, because it subsequently became a less lucrative scheme. Okay? So that brings us to September 2015. The Nolan Show then reveals that what actually happened was individuals from the Office of First and Deputy First Minister and the DUP put pressure on, and the scheme remained open. And after that scheme remained open, beyond the time where the Permanent Secretary had felt that it should close, loads of people start piling into that scheme from all over Northern Ireland. And in a 6-week period between October 2015 and the first couple of weeks of November, in other words, up to the 17th of November, nearly half of all the applicants in the scheme in total over all the years pile in during that 6 weeks. And that's going to cost, in that 6-week period where it was left open, £485 million of your pounds, of the pounds that come out of your taxes. What you earn, you don't take home. The government takes some of it away from you. And some of what they've taken away is going up in smoke, because people are putting boilers into empty sheds. Because the way the scheme was designed, they were getting away with burning this heat into the sky. And they were incentivized within this scheme. The more you burn, the more you earn. That's your money. And then, if we fast forward to January 2016, the Treasury wrote to Northern Ireland and said, "We're not paying for this. We're not paying for this overspend." With the result that your schools, your roads, the money that we have for all different types of things that you want money spent on, your classrooms, education of our children, there's going to be less money. That's how important this is. It came into the public domain, spotlight, broadcast a very important programme just a matter of, I think it's about a week ago now, setting this story out. And we owe Spotlight a lot for bringing this into the public domain. What happened after that Spotlight programme? The Nolan Show put an investigation team into looking at the fine detail of this. And here's what we know. We know that your money has been absolutely wasted. The government are trying to claw it back. They're trying to find legal ways of getting some of that money that they have committed to spending back. You heard Gregory Campbell's fury at me. He said I was wrongly misrepresenting the situation. He said that I was suggesting this money had been spent when it hasn't been spent. The point I would make to Mr. Campbell is the following. If you go out and buy a £100,000 house and you get a mortgage that you're paying over the next 20 years, you say you've spent £100,000 on a house. His version of events is, because you haven't actually spent that money right now, it's not spent. And he is arguing the point that the government will try to get some of your money back. We're getting your reaction today. 03030805555. There are two huge stories from this programme this morning. One is that the minister, Jonathan Bell, who was at the centre of this, he was there when the spike happened. He is saying his political career is now over because he has sat down with me and his words, he has told the truth. And I'll say it again, his interview coming up on BBC One television tonight will send shockwaves throughout Northern Ireland. That's tonight on the television. But don't get lost that there hasn't been an incredibly important story today as well. And it is this. Arlene Foster's defence during this saga has been that when a whistleblower came to her and made allegations to her about the operation of this scheme, that she passed those concerns on to her departmental officials. So that's what she has publicly said. Her words, I passed these concerns on to my departmental officials to investigate. And that has been her political defence to us, the public. This is what I did. How could I be expected to do more? And yet Nigel Dodds last night is saying that Arlene Foster never received the concerns. And therefore, in terms of us needing to be able to believe what our politicians say, there is a question that this programme has put in to the Democratic Unionist Party this morning that is one of the most important questions I believe this programme has ever asked. And here's the question which remains unanswered from the DUP. Did Arlene Foster pass allegations on to the department, or is the DUP now retracting what Arlene Foster publicly said? We've cleared the decks again today. John and Derry. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I just wondered, has the Bermuda Triangle taken over DUP headquarters? Because they've all seemed to have disappeared this morning for some reason. It's a shame now Gregory isn't on because he complained that he wasn't invited on your show the other day.
I'm inviting him now.
Yeah,
Mr. Campbell, if you want to come on, yeah. Fill your boots.
As for the Spotlight programme tonight, we can't wait to see it. Now, you know what's
it's not Spotlight programme tonight, it's a Nolan Show tonight.
Sorry, Nolan Show. You see, Jonathan Bell will tell his version of the truth and the DUP might have another version. There's one that, would that be Arlene's version or would that be Nigel's version? Because the two of them don't seem to be singing on the same hand sheet this morning, saying different things. As for Jonathan Bell, if I could paraphrase Jesus, no greater love has a man who lays down his political life for his friends. Jonathan Bell is a very, very brave man, a very courageous man, and he should be commended by the people of this country. he'll be okay, and his family will be okay. It will be ostracised by the DUP, but you want
well, the DUP have given no indication that they're going to do that. That's Jonathan Bell's belief. That is not the DUP have not said a word about Jonathan Bell. We have asked them for a response to what Jonathan Bell has said.
When he left the DUP, he was ostracised too. He was vilified. To me, the DUP, they have no credibility. They left Arlene Foster. It's time she went. She comes across as being, when she's getting interviewed, as being really sort of, she's arrogant and very dismissive people, you know, and saying it's not my fault, it's nothing to do with me. But, Stephen, a football team in the Premiership, if they're relegated, they don't sack the canteen lady. The manager's in charge. Arlene Foster was in charge. Time for her to go.
John, thank you. John and Fermanagh next. Morning, John.
Good morning, Stephen. Hello?
Go ahead, John.
Good morning. Stephen, first of all, I want to say I am not a political person. I have never been involved in politics in my life. But I have to say I am absolutely disgusted with what's going on and what I'm hearing over the last few days. And I've spoken to a lot of people, a lot of friends of mine. Again, as I say, who wouldn't be political people, who are just absolutely sick to the back teeth of what's going on. We have in our in our county here in Fermanagh, we have a terrible situation regarding our roads. We have a brand new hospital that's been built, and yet in all, most of the people are dying seriously around them. They have to travel two and a half hours to have a Galvin hospital for to get their treatment. We also have a big problem down here. We're having one factory in Enniskillen. We also have serious problems with a health centre here, local health centre, in the local papers. But the actual seal has fallen in because there's no money to repair the thing. Now, this is in the background of what's going on and what's going on over the last few days. People are very hurt and people are very, very angry in what's happening, Stephen. They really are really hurt about it, really are.
Well, what we are trying to do as a programme, because this, I guess, is what you pay your licence fee for, correct. We are trying to use the money that you give the BBC to dig into the detail of what has actually happened here.
And, Stephen, let me say, you're doing a very good job. Having said that, I would also say in the past, I have listened to your programmes, and, you know, the fools of our country would be on fighting each other regarding flags and regarding parades, etc., etc. But, you know, this here is such a serious situation. I say about our hospitals, and, you know, I heard about our hospital in Dundalk, the children's ward in Dundalk Hospital closed down. I actually know of a lady of 91 years of age who got a phone call last week to say that she may have to put herself to bed that night because there's such a shortage of carers in our county. This is a 91-year-old woman, Steve. You know, and when you hear, as I say to you, what's going on, the money being, I know Gregory Cameron doesn't want to hear the word squandered, but that's what it is, squandered. And to hear the, and I know the situation, I say, Darren, and I'm talking here specifically about Fermanagh. It's people are really angry. They really are angry at what's going on. And as I say to you, I'm not involved in politics. I've never been involved in politics. I'm an ordinary citizen of this country, and I'm angry, as a lot of people are.
But, what do you say to our First Minister this morning?
Well, I don't want to, as I say to you, this is a situation that's involved in politics. I don't want to, I don't know, it's just something has to happen, something has to give here. Somebody has got to be responsible for what's happening. And I just hope that we don't have another situation where, you know, this is all under the carpet and forgot about. Hopefully it will not be, because the fools of this country like myself will go out and vote, you're out and vote and we're back to the same thing, you know, the orange and green. But, you know, we've seen what we've seen over the last few days, and this is a terrible situation for ordinary people who are waiting for hip operations, et cetera, and can't have it done because they're told there's no money. So it is. So.
Thank you for your call today. Kevin and Ballinhinch. Morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Stephen. Just in regards to the Jonathan Bell interview, it really touched me in regards to it. I've met Jonathan quite a few times and I would offer full support in what he's actually saying about the truth and stuff. Thank God for paper trails and whatever else. The other thing is that this is £20 million per year. that could be spent on people with difficulties suffering from mental health and whatever. You see our suicide rate and whatever else, and these people are having to wait for months and months and months in order to get an assessment done. It's ridiculous. And the other thing about it is, in regards to the DUP, what happens with all these people who's maybe backing the wrong horse? Whenever this paper trail comes out, are these people going to say, well, we got it wrong as well? Where do we stand with these people? You know, you've got a whistleblower, you've got Jonathan Bell coming on, there's a TV show tonight that is going to uncover an awful lot more. The likes of Arlene Foster should do the honourable thing and at least stand down until this is over. You can't have a First Minister whenever it's, the spotlight is on this here length of time and one person, and there's so much information going around. She needs to step down and let other people deal with this. It's as simple as that.
Well, she says that she wants to preside over the government attempts to get some of your money back. She says she's doing everything she can. But as I sit here this morning, the fundamental defence that Arlene Foster has, that when the whistleblower contacted her with allegations, she passed them on to her department to investigate. I am now genuinely confused as to whether that ever happened, because the DUP is telling us that she was only under the impression that she met the whistleblower. And Nigel Dodds has told us last night, I will read his exact words, there has been a quite scurrilous attempt to blame Arlene Foster for the RHI saga. The endlessly repeated claim has been that she failed to follow up on the whistleblower concerns. Now we know that no such concerns were raised with her. So how does this tally?
Well, to be honest with you, it doesn't, Stephen, and that's the reason why you need a full inquiry in regards to this. All the information has to be laid out, and then it will lead back to the people who were actually making these decisions. Arlene Foster needs to step down. I'm not saying forever, but she needs to step down until such times that this becomes completely and utterly clear. As I said to you, there's kids growing up in education, whatever else. £20 million a year is going to have to come out of these budgets. All these ministers are all going to have to bite the bullet here in order to claw back this money some way, shape or form, and it's not going to happen.
Thank you for your call today. Jim in Belfast. Morning, Jim.
How are you? Nolan is here.
Hello?
Arrogant Arlene, if you manage to... this is horrendous what's happening here. All this money going missing. I would recommend you could put forward for a knighthood if you're going to be the driver of bringing Arlene down.
Well, hold on. Stop. I will not be a driver to bring Arlene Foster down, nor would I ever want to be, nor is it my job to be. And under no circumstances would I be a driver for that. My job is to put
put the facts to the people you're reporting the story.
Right.
But
so
it's on your show.
But just to be clear.
Okay, fair enough.
Just to be clear.
But getting back to the
point. But let me be clear, Jim.
You be clear.
Okay. I will defend Arlene Foster no more or no less than any other politician in this country.
It's horrendous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Reason why... Let me give you an insight into what's happened over the last week. The Nolan Radio Show team, okay? They have been in an office in the BBC where we have worked 12, 14-hour days for the last 7 days, not in any circumstances to just scrutinise Arlene Foster. What we have been doing is looking through every single detail that we could find to try to put information into the public domain so that you can decide. So we're deciding nothing. You decide, Jim.
Well, I'm deciding. If I have my way, you could put forward for a knighthood.
Let's park. Let's drop that. Where is your instinct in this? Are you angry?
I'm disgusted. I think she should resign. There's people starving, there's hospital beds, there's hospital wards, there's schools. It is disgraceful. And if it was any other political leader in this country or over in England or anywhere else, they'd be calling for them to resign straight away. And the very fact that nobody's going to come on this morning and talk to you, it just shows the arrogance of the party, the biggest party in the country.
Jim, thank you.
It's a total disgrace.
Thank you, Jim. Jim and Ardoyne next. Morning, Jim.
Well, Stephen, first of all, I'd like to do the same. I'd like to congratulate you for bringing all these stories. You bring the true stories, just what happened in Northern Ireland. Doesn't matter what part of the my grandson, just back from Dublin, after going up 100 metres up there and then back down again to get wee tests for his heart. And I think in £485 million, because I went to hospitals, schools and houses. You know, we came out of a 30-year conflict, and it was cruel, wild. I lived in the middle of it. It was terrible. And I saw in Catholics and Protestants would live in peace together and would have nothing like this, would have a good government, and everything would work out good.
What age is your grandson?
He's only 12 years of age.
We're thinking about him, Jim. Thank you for your call. Pat in Belfast. Morning, Pat.
Hi, Stephen. Stephen, I just want to say, I was listening to the interview with Jonathan Bell there. If Jonathan Bell says what he says in your interview today, tonight, what he said this morning, I'm telling you now, that man is going to be elevated to no end, because I'll tell you what, there's very few politicians in this country will come out and tell the truth. And
well,
tell it how it is.
Well, he has told me he believes his political career is over because of what he's told me.
Well, let me tell you this here. I'm an Irishman, right? If he stood in my constituency tomorrow, I would vote for him, because if he comes out and tells the truth, but he says, now we thought the guy was kind of genuine anyway. But I'll tell you what, I think he will, if the Ulster Unionists or the Alliance Party don't grab us, man, by both hands and say, come with us, because I'll tell you what, he's going to be elevated to such a degree when he tells the truth, because that's
well,
what
he's a DUP MLA, and the DUP have given no indication that he won't remain a DUP MLA.
And they'd be very silly that they get rid of him, because I'll tell you what, he could be the new First Minister in this country, because I'll tell you one thing, the honesty that came out of that interview this morning was compelling. Absolutely compelling. I'm really telling you now. I woke up this morning and I turned your show on. 10 minutes later, you came on with that interview. And he said, when you said to him, you've got tears in your eyes. And he said, Stephen, I'm telling the truth. God told me to tell the truth. I went, my God, I can't believe this.
There are some of you who are criticising me when you say that, why am I holding this interview back until tonight at 10:40 on the television and not broadcasting it now? I want to tell you why. Hold on. I want to explain why. I think this interview is of such importance that I think you all need to see the whites of his eyes. You all need to see him and how his body language is, so that you can determine what you make of it. And I think television is the right platform for that tonight. And then tomorrow morning we will regroup on this show and you can have the biggest platform that there is in Northern Ireland to discuss it. And remember that Arlene Foster deserves your ear too. The DUP deserve your ear too. They will have their version of what has happened and they deserve to be listened to.
Well, let me just say this one.
And one other thing, because I'm intent on you knowing how balanced we're attempting to be. Well, I have asked Arlene Foster for an interview. I have contacted Arlene Foster's people and I have said, please, please give her a platform in this programme so that the people of Northern Ireland can hear what she has to say. I have been refused. Now, Jonathan Bell was given the same approach and he accepted.
Right. Well, let me just say, going by what I heard on the radio, if the radio, if the interview in the television is anything like it at all, it needs to be shown at a time where everybody in this country can see it. Because I was compelled by the few sentences that he made.
It'll be on at 10:40 tonight, BBC One.
I'm sure.
And it'll be on the radio tomorrow morning again at 9 o'clock. Pat, thank you. Ken Wilkinson. Morning, Ken.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, like other people there have said, you know, I would like to commend Jonathan Bell for his sincerity.
Well, you don't know what he has said yet.
Well, the man, I listened to him there, and I'm a brave, good judge of character. And I think the man had to do a lot of soul searching. But not only has he put his own neck on the line, he also has to think of his family and the repercussions that it might come out of his political end. But what I want to also say, Stephen, is we have people who are sitting up there, Arlene Foster, and Martin McGuinness isn't cleaning this either, who are going to other parts of the world and asking people for inward investment into this country. How can they go with sincerity and everything else whenever they see what has happened here regarding us here? And everybody's finger...
Well, you say Martin McGuinness is not clean in this. Actually, Martin McGuinness was not the minister at the time in the department.
No, Stephen, he's head of the government in Northern Ireland.
Well,
there's a lot of fingerprints on it, and everyone whose fingerprints is on it, especially the fat cats who profited out of this. You talked about one who of half a million. We have children in this country who are suffering from autism, and a few months ago,
okay,
there wasn't enough people to look at them.
Okay.
Many other things, but as I say, on a more later note, Dean, a Merry Christmas to you.
Ken, thank you. So here's where we are. 10:40 tonight, BBC One. You will hear from the minister at the time, Jonathan Bell, who sits down in front of me and tells his version of what happened in this scheme that is costing you hundreds of millions of pounds. I'll talk to you on the television tonight. Have a good day. Bye-bye.